In 1 Samuel, if you would turn to that book, I want to bring a message today that I pray will grab a hold of your attention. I know on a Sunday morning, oftentimes you never hear a message brought from the Old Testament too often, but today we're going to be doing so. And there's actually, within these first 25 verses of Scripture, you'll see there's several different opportunities to build a sermon from. Several of these opportunities are those that deals with the Christian, deals with God's people, deals with the anointed, God's man. And so these are different topics that are found in this Scripture. But there's one in particular that I want to deal with today. I pray that God will arrest our attentions. Our minds may be set in order right now to pay tribute to God's Word. Pray homage to the God of heaven. Listen, that's why we're here today, especially those of us who are saved by the grace of God. We have come into this house to worship in spirit and truth. We have come here knowing that somewhere in this house, God's Spirit is alive and well and moving in and out of these pews and up and down these aisles to touch the hearts of every individual in this house, one way or the other. And I pray that God will just be gracious unto us today. In 1 Samuel chapter 26, if you've turned there, we again want to welcome our radio audience. It's Brother John Lybrook, pastor of the Emmanuel Missionary Baptist Church. It's an old town that's just inside of Greenup County, out of Carter County. You can get to us by taking Route 1 or Route 7. We do have a sign on either end of Laurel Road, giving you directions to the meeting house of God's people, known as Emmanuel. And again, we're thankful that you've taken time today to tune in to WGOH to hear a portion of God's Word. That which I want to pay very particular attention to today is found within these 25 verses of Scripture I'm about to read. So I would ask you today, just bear with me for a while. Take a hold of God's Word and allow it to deal with your hearts. Allow it to touch you in a way that whatever God has for us, it'll be had. The Bible says in verse 1, "And the Zephites came to Saul to Geba, saying, Doth not David hide himself in the hill of Hakeah, which is before Jeshuun? Then Saul arose and he went down to the wilderness of Ziph, and having 3,000 chosen men of Israel with him to seek David in the wilderness of Ziph. And Saul pitched in the hill of Hachelah, which is before Jeshimon, by the way. But David abode in the wilderness, and he saw that Saul came after him into the wilderness." Now again, I want you to have your mind where David is. I want you to go there by your mind's eye, and I want you to see everything that's transpiring here. It's easy to do. Just take your mind and allow God's Word to direct you in the thought process. The Bible says in verse 4, "David therefore sent out spies and understood that Saul was come in very deep. And David arose and he came to the place where Saul had pitched. And David beheld the place where Saul lay." And I want you to notice where David's at, and how that David could have very easily defended himself and taken the life of Saul. "And Abner, the son of Ner, the captain of the host, and Saul lay by the trench," or in the trench, "and the people pitched round about him. Then answered David and said to Amulek the Hittite, and Abishai the son of Zeruiah, brother of Joab, saying, Who will go down with me to Saul to the camp? And Abishai said, I will go with thee. So David and Abishai came to the people by night, and behold, Saul lay sleeping within the trench, and his spear stuck in the ground at his bolster. And Abner and the people lay around about him. Then said Abishai to David, God hath delivered thine enemy into thine hand this day. Now therefore let me smite him, I pray thee, with the spear, even to the earth at once, and I will not smite him the second time." In other words, he was saying he wouldn't have to do it twice. He's going to take care of the business at hand immediately. But notice what David said here. Now remember, Saul was trying his best to take David's life. Saul had chased him all over the country. He had done everything in his power to try to stop and destroy David. But listen to this. And David said to Abishai, "Destroy him not. For who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless?" David said, "Furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him." In other words, just leave it in the hands of the Lord. Sometimes that's what you got to do, folks. Sometimes when things come in our lives, the best thing to do is not retaliate, but just let God take care of business. And listen, He will always take care of business. Now, is this my message today? No, it's not. But it's one of those good side points that could really make you think about where you're at in life right now. Just let God take care of it. Whatever it is that's going on in your life, just let God deal with it. You know, oftentimes, the more we get involved in it, the messier it gets. Amen? The more we say, the more that we do, oftentimes leads into murky waters. Just let God take care of it. Now, that was just one of those, again, little side notes. That's one of them rabbits that people, preachers like to chase from time to time, but this is not my message today. Now listen to this. Again, David said, "Furthermore, as the Lord liveth, the Lord shall smite him, or his day shall come to die, or he shall descend into battle and perish. The Lord forbid that I should stretch forth my hand against the Lord's anointed, but I pray thee, take thou now the spear that is in his bolster and the cruse of water and let us go." David was wanting to show Saul that, listen, I've been here. I've been here and I've spared your life. Verse 12 says, "So David took the spear and the cruse of water from Saul's bolster, and they get them away, and no man saw it nor knew it, neither awaked. For they were all asleep, because a deep sleep from the Lord was fallen upon them. Then David went over to the other side, and he stood on top of the hill far off, a great space between them. And David cried to the people and to Abner the son of Ner, saying, Answer thou not Abner? Then Abner answered and said, Who art thou that criest to the king? David said to Abner, Art not thou a valiant man? And who is like unto thee in Israel? Wherefore then hast thou not kept thy lord the king? For there came one of the people in to destroy the king thy lord. This thing is not good that thou hast done. As the Lord liveth, ye are worthy to die, because ye have not kept your master, the Lord's anointed." In other words, you didn't protect him. When men began to stand up against him and try to take his life, you didn't protect him. Listen, he's saying, you're worthy of death. Think about that for just a moment. Think about that. Let that sink into your minds. Here was the one who was supposed to have been guarding over the king. He's supposed to have been doing everything in his power to protect him. But what happened? He lay there in his sleep. Men came in. David came and took his spear, his cruse of water, laying right at his feet, and he spared his life. Notwithstanding, the guards didn't even know he was around. So he says, you're worthy of death because you didn't protect your anointed. This thing is not good, he says. In verse, as it says, and on into verse 16, "And now see where the king's spear is, and the cruse of water that was in his bolster." He was saying, now I want you to look and see where his spear is. You know where it was at? It was at David's side on the other side of the mountain. And Saul knew David's voice. Saul roused to his senses, and he understood that was David, the very one that he had been chasing and trying to take his life from him. And Saul knew it was David's voice, and he said, "Is this thy voice, my son David?" And David said, It is my voice, my lord, O king." And he said, "Wherefore doth my lord thus pursue after his servant? For what have I done? Or what evil is in mine hand? Now therefore I pray thee, let my lord the king hear the words of his servant." Listen, today allow me to say, don't refuse the man of God's words. That's one of our points today. And when we get to it, you'll see what I'm saying. "If the Lord have stirred thee up against me, let him accept an offering. But if they be the children of men, cursed be they before the Lord. For they have driven me out of this day from abiding in the inheritance of the Lord, saying, go serve other gods. Now therefore, let not my blood fall to the earth before the face of the Lord, for the king of Israel is come out to seek a flea, as when one doth hunt a partridge in the mountains." Then said Saul. Now friend, here's my text message today. Here's the title that's found. He says, "I have sinned." Saul recognizes his folly. Saul recognized his shortcoming. And he says, "I have sinned. Return my son David, for I will no more do thee harm, because my soul was precious in thine eyes this day. Behold, I have played the fool and have erred exceedingly." Think about Saul's words here, folks. And I want you to think about where you're at in life right now. Saul is in the position that he's in because he had refused to hear the man of God. He had refused to hear the people of God. And he had refused to hear God himself. And he says, and he acknowledges the fact that, listen, he says, "I have played the fool. I have been such a fool in my life." You know what I believe today, without a shadow of a doubt, that every Christ rejecter who has now passed from this life to the next says very readily, "I played the fool. I refused the word of God, I refused God's people, and I refused God." Saul done this very thing, and he realized it, and he said, "Listen, I know I have sinned exceedingly, I have played the fool." David answered and said, "Behold the king's spear, and let one of the young men come over and fetch it. The Lord render to every man his righteousness and his faithfulness." One day every individual is going to give an account for the life that they've lived down here. Every day that we live, every day that we do, listen, there is an account being written in heaven. Now I want you to know that one day we're going to give an account. We're going to stand before one of two thrones. The Lord Jesus Christ, as he stands at the bema seat of Christ and judges his people. Or you're going to stand at the great white throne judgment seat of God, the place where God judges the Christ rejecter. Listen, don't be like Saul. Don't be like this individual who says, I have played the fool. You know what? I'm afraid that too many have played the fool far too long. The Bible speaks about the fact in the book of Romans that there are those that have turned over to a reprobate mind. Why? Because they have played the fool too long. And God says, "All right, that's it." These are those who don't see any wrong in any of their actions, do not see themselves as sinners, and never will, because they're turned over to a reprobate mind. May God help us today to understand. Listen, we'll play the fool if we're not careful. And at the end, we'll pay the price. May God help us today to see and understand the Word of God. Our most gracious and divine Heavenly Father, dear God, as we humbly come before your throne today, we do so with thankful hearts. We're thankful, dear God, that today as we sit in this house, We've seen all these young people who have been brought by their parents and their grandparents. Lord, we've seen the joy that's in the hearts of Thy people. Lord, I pray today that as You have filled this house, there might be those who understand that they have played the fool way too long. And it's time to get serious with God. Lord, I pray that You will open up the eyes of the unbeliever. Lord, help them as you guided Saul to understand his sparing of his life. And how it can be grabbed a hold of even this very day in this house. The sparing of one's life. The bringing to life that individual who's dead in trespasses and sins. Father, I pray that even though iniquity abound in this old dark world today, I pray that in this house the light of Jesus will shine in the hearts of those who are destitute and without. Help them today, dear God, to understand the role that Saul has played. And help them not to take part of it. Lord, bless us today. Save souls and save lives. And Father, forgive us our sin. In Jesus Christ's name. And amen. Emmanuel, to our visiting friends and our radio audience, within the context of our scripture reading today, several messages could spring forth very easily. But there is one in particular that I wish to speak on this Lord's Day. It is found in verse 21 of 1 Samuel 26, where Saul utters some very provocative words to David, words meant to grab a hold of his attention. Behold, he says, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. Think about those words now and allow them to kind of soak into your mind and your thought process. Do you not realize that these could be words uttered by every Christ rejecter as they stand and give an account of their lives when they pass from this life into the next and find themselves at their eternal abode, their long home, as Ecclesiastes 12:5 declares, because man goeth to his long home? What constitutes the words, I have played the fool? And I want you to just stop for just a moment and ask yourself this very question. What constitutes the phrase, I have played the fool, and I have erred exceedingly? What would bring that to pass in your life to know that these words are the words that could come from your voice? I have played the fool. We play the fool when we first of all refuse God's word. Now, I didn't tell Brother Rick where I was going with this morning. I didn't tell Brother Jim the scriptures that he was using, that we were going to be using those same scriptures. That's just not how we do things here. Let the Holy Spirit guide and direct our thoughts and our process of mind. But listen, God said for us to repent and to refuse Him not. In Matthew chapter 11, if you'll go back here for just a moment and notice what it says here in Matthew chapter 11. And it's words that I've brought forth many times before. Maybe you're in this house today. Maybe you've got some things going on in your life. Maybe right now there's feelings of overwhelming fear or what have you for the life that is to come. Maybe God has spoke to your heart today. Maybe God is even right now speaking to you and trying to get your attention. You know what He says to you? Listen, don't refuse Him. Listen to me, don't refuse His voice today. He says unto you, as Jesus Christ speaks here, He says, come unto Me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I'll give you rest. Listen, don't refuse the words of Jesus Christ today. Don't refuse Him who's telling you to come unto Him and He will give you the comfort that you stand in need of. He'll give you the rest that you stand in need of. He says this, come unto Me all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, these are words that should not be refused. Listen, if you're in this house today, you don't know the Lord as your Savior, don't refuse these very simple words that are given here by Jesus Christ. Listen, if we refuse these words to death, listen, I want you to know what will happen. We will end up playing the part of the fool way too long. We will end up playing the part of the fool. And listen, the Bible, and I'm not calling you a fool. I'm just saying we play the part of the fool. In other words, that one who is ignorant of God's word and his devices to save. He's saying unto you today, come to me and I'll give you rest. Is your soul in turmoil right now? I mean, is your heart just broken today? Is there thoughts going on in your mind that you just can't seem to get rid of? Listen, he says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Don't refuse God's word. Don't refuse him today. Romans chapter 3 and verse 19, the latter part of that, in the middle part, says that every mouth may be stopped and all the world may become guilty before God. This is God's word. The Apostle Paul, as he spoke to the church at Rome and to those Christians, he was telling them and he's telling all who would hear, listen, don't refuse the words of the Lord. It's a foolish thing to do so. Because God's word says that we're guilty. You know, that alone is enough to cause us to feel the anguish of heart and mind and soul. To know that you're standing guilty. You know, for the common man, for the natural man, woman, boy, or girl, guilt is something that eats at us. Guilt is something that tears at our happiness. It destroys the joy. Listen, guilt, that's what guilt does. Guilt destroys us. Guilt will cause us to not have joy in our hearts. And God's word is that very word that says we're all guilty. So he says, come unto me and I'll give you rest. Friend, I want you to know something. These are some of the best words you'll ever hear in your life. To know that God the Father is saying unto you, now listen, come unto me and I will give you that which you stand in need of. Oh, what a Savior. You say, well, what am I guilty of? Guilty? Of just being a sinner. Romans chapter 3, if you'll turn there with me for just a moment, I want to read this. I want you to notice what it says now. Maybe you're sitting here today and you say, well, I'm not that bad, preacher. No, when we judge ourselves against other human beings, we're not all that bad, are we? I mean, as far as I know, there's no murderers in here. As far as I know, there are no people that are thieves in here. As far as I know, there's not something like that would cause us to think ill of ourselves, but we are trying to gauge ourselves against the wrong plumb ball. You see, you've got to have a true counter to go against. So you got to look at yourself against the eyes of God. We've got to see today that it is God who is the great judge. And he says we're sinners in need of salvation. Matter of fact, the Bible says in Romans in chapter 3, now notice this, there is none. There is none righteous, no, not one. There is none that understandeth. There is none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way and they're all together become unprofitable. There is none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Look at, this is how God looks at us. You know, when we look at each other, we don't think of it, the natural man, the natural moral man, if I could say it like that and still stay in the confines of God's word, we don't look at each other like the way God looks at us. You know, I've heard preachers get up and say, well, there's a spark of goodness in all men, but not according to God. You know, that's just something pretty that the evangelist would want you to think about. There's a spark of goodness in all of you. You just got to fan it a little bit. No, not according to God. God says we're all guilty of sin. This is a thing that, listen, you got to get a hold of, and you can't allow it to slip your mind, because if you do, you play the part of the fool when you think, well, that's not me. But it is. The Bible says their throat is an open sepulcher. With their tongues they have used deceit. And the poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood, destruction and misery in all their ways. And the way of peace they have not known. Why? Because there is no fear of God before their eyes. They're all under sin. Says Romans 3:9. Romans 2 and 4, the Bible says, but God leadeth thee to repentance. His holy word instructs us to repent, for we have sinned. Now I go back to what Brother Rick was saying this morning, out of the book of Proverbs in chapter 1, and I want you to look at this. Now get a hold of what he read here this morning in verse 23 to begin with. Turn ye at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you, and I will make known my words unto you. Because I have called, and ye refused. I have stretched out my hand, and no man hath regarded. But ye have said it not, all my counsel, and would none of my reproof. I also will laugh at your calamity, and will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as desolation, and your desolation cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you, then shall they call on me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they shall not find me. For that they hated knowledge and did not choose to fear the Lord. They would none of my counsel, they despised all of my reproof. Therefore shall they eat of the fruit of their own way, and be filled with their own devices, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. But whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from fear of evil. Listen, that is a very, very telling sign of, listen, those that have forgot to fear the Word of God. They're playing the folly because they refuse God's word. They're playing folly and they're playing the fool. You see, we play the fool when we refuse God. Now, secondly, I want you to look at this. We play the fool when we refuse God's people. In Hebrews chapter 12 and verse 25, you know, we go back, we think about what David had done there. And how that, you know, he spared Saul. But you know, later on, I want you to know, Saul still went back on him. Now I want you to look at Hebrews 12 and verse 25. The Bible says, see that you refuse not him that speaketh. I'm going to stop right there for just a moment. I know this is talking about the voice of God, but you know, as the mouthpiece of God today, standing behind this pulpit, I'm speaking what thus saith the Lord, what He has written in His book. This is the very, as I said Wednesday night, this is the very breath of God right here. This book is God's breath. That's what the inspiration of the Word of God is, and that's what it means. God breathed. See that you refuse not His word. See that you refuse not the word of God today. And know that there is life. There is justification. There's forgiveness in the Lord. Know that. Oh, I pray that God will get a hold of our hearts this morning. Don't refuse God. For if they escape not who refused him that spake on earth, much more shall not we escape if we turn away from him that speaketh from heaven. Listen, there are two voices being spoke of here. Now I want you to stop and think about the greatest preacher that ever walked the earth. That was Jesus Christ. The greatest preacher that ever walked upon the face of the earth. And he preached, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Why would you refuse him? Why would you refuse the very voice of God and his people? You know, in Matthew chapter 28, verses 18 through 20, the church is given the responsibility to go into all the world and preach the gospel. You know where we're to begin? Right here in our little Jerusalem, right here where we're at. You know, I was thankful that over the last few weeks, there was 140 plus homes visited here by you, the people of God. You know what? I know that even as we sit in this house today, there are those who refuse to take what we were saying and refuse to receive the Word of God that we were given. Sad to say, they played the part of the fool. But you've done what you're supposed to do. You're not in charge of saving people. You know what? And I wished I could get more Baptists to understand this. More evangelists to get a hold of this. You're not in charge of saving people. You're in charge of spreading the gospel. God does the saving. Your responsibility is to go into all the world and preach the gospel. Teaching them. Baptizing them. You know what? I believe too many churches today have that all turned around, don't they? Listen to me today. I'm telling you right now that listen, if you're not careful, you'll play the fool if you don't hear the Word of God. If you don't listen to the voice of God and to the voice of God's people, because here's the way of life. Here's the way of joy. Here's the promise of eternal life to all those who will come. Acts chapter 2. We'll go over here for just a moment. I want you to look at this and I want you to consider it with me. You know, oftentimes I hear people say, well, preacher, I just don't have time for the Lord. Listen, you better take time for the Lord. What was Peter's voice? What was his words? He says in verse 38, then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for or because of the remission of sins. And ye shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are far off, you and I, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. Where are you at today in life? Where are you at right now as an individual? Listen, have you refused the Word of God? Have you refused the very voice of His people? I want to stop with this the end to this message, with this third point that people play the part of the fool when they refuse God's advice. You know, you go back to 1 Samuel for just a moment, chapter 26. 1 Samuel 26 and verse 9 to begin with. And David said to Abishai, destroy him not. For who can stretch forth his hand against the Lord's anointed and be guiltless? Verse 21, Saul realizes where he was at. Saul realizes how close he was to death. And it's just one of numerous times that David could have slain this man. He says, then said Saul, I have sinned. You know what I said, our friend? That's where you got to come to if you're going to be saved. You have to come to a place where you realize you're a sinner. You need to be saved. You say, well, preacher, that's not the nicest thing I ever heard a preacher say. Well, listen, it's the most needful thing that you get a hold of, that you're a sinner. Listen, I know a preacher today that pats people on the back and sends them on their way and tell them they're going to be okay. No, I'm going to tell you the truth today. You're a sinner and you're in need of salvation. And without salvation, you're going to go to a place called hell. That's the reason why today that there are those in hell today, because they played the fool too long. And they never did get over it. God turned them over to a reprobate mind. In other words, they didn't see any wrong in their life. They were unable to feel guilt for sin in their lives. That's what's going on in our nation today, folks. The reason why that our nation is so filled with sin and debauchery today is because God has turned so many over to a reprobate mind, I believe. They don't see that their sin is wrong. And men, listen. Mankind can't even understand that even though they're morally good as far as we can see, God says they need to be saved because they're sinners. That's you and me today. God thought so much of you that He spared no expense to save your soul. As a matter of fact, the Bible says that He sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him should not perish but have everlasting life. Friend, I want you to know something. That little verse means everything in the world to me. Listen, we learn it. You go back to that last Sunday school room back there where the little children meet. That's where they first hear that. They first hear that not only from mom and dad, but from the very beginnings of Sunday school. They learn that verse of Scripture. For God so loved the world. Listen, I want you to know something. It is a special Scripture. There's truth in it. There's life in it. There's life to all who will come and receive it. Is that not what John 1 speaks of in verse 11? He came unto His own, but His own received Him not. But as many as received Him, to them gave He power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on His name. Oh, my friend, today there's wisdom in God's Word. There's wisdom in God's Word. There's wisdom in God's people who give you the gospel. And there's wisdom in God's advice. God's not going to lead you astray. He told you again, come unto Me and I'll give you rest. I'll give you rest. John chapter 8, the Bible speaks about the fact that He came to set us free. Now think about that. Aren't you in bondage right now? Is that not what's going on with the guilt that's in your heart? You're in bondage. You're in turmoil. John chapter 8 and verse 32, He says, and ye shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. And if the Son, therefore, in verse 36, shall make you free, you shall be free indeed. Listen, don't deny God and His advice to you. What does verse 47 say? He that is of God heareth God's words. God's given you good advice today to come unto Him and He'll give you rest. Ye therefore hear them not because you're not of God. Is that so? Have you already been turned over to a reprobate mind and you don't see the harm in just living a life the way you're living? God says you've played the fool. Saul looked at the fact, as he looked and he saw his spear on the other side of the mountain with David. Saul looked and he said, man, I messed up. I have sinned. And I played the fool, and I have wronged exceedingly. You know why? Because he realized over there was his protection. He no longer had protection. Stop for just a moment and think about Jesus. Think for just a moment how that he could take our lives away from us at any second. But he loved you. He came and died for you on the cross of Calvary. The number of our days, says Job, are in his hands. Do you not recognize the fact that we don't know when that day comes for us, but it is a coming? Hebrews 9:27, it's appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment. Let me ask you something. What judgment will you stand at? You know, the saved are going to stand at the bema seat of Christ. Their works are going to be tried. It's going to go through the fire. It's either going to come out as ashes and we'll stand in tears, or it's going to come out gold refined, pure. Why? Because we've done it for His glory. That's what that judgment's all about. Whether we've done things for our glory or God's glory. What is done for our glory, it's all going to be burned up one day. We'll be saved, as the Bible says, yet so as by fire. But know this, if you're at the other judgment seat, the great, great white throne judgment seat of God, it's already too late. It's already too late. You played the fool too long. Listen. Understand what God says here today. Don't play the part of the fool. Don't play the part of the fool. Listen, hear His word today. Hear God's people today as they beckon you to come unto the Lord. Even when we sing the songs of invitation, they're beckonings to you to come to God. You've heard the glorious gospel, how that Jesus Christ came and died on the cross. He shed His precious blood and was buried for you. And rose again the third day. That, my friend, is the gospel message. The death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus according to the Scriptures. That's what you must believe. You want to be saved today? Listen, don't play the part of the fool. Come to Jesus today. Listen, don't play the part of the fool when it comes to where you will exist throughout eternity. Don't be like the young man of Luke chapter 12 who looked at everything and he began to brag on all his work and all of his deeds. And God says, thou fool, this night thy soul shall be required of thee, and then who shall all these things be? Listen, don't play the part of the fool. Come to Jesus today. Trust Him today. Think about the end result of the Christ rejecter. And know for certain that this day will come to all who refuse Him. They'll find themselves at Revelation 20, verse 11 through 15, where the devil, the false prophet, the beast, the Antichrist, and all Christ rejectors are going to be cast into a lake of fire. If you're here, then you'll know for certain, behold, I have played the fool and erred exceedingly. Don't be that one. Trust Christ today. Trust and obey. Listen, many a times I have played the fool in my life. I've done things that are not pleasing to God, and I've played the fool. Listen, don't play the fool. It'll only bring you heartache and hardship. Trust Jesus today. Be wise. Be wise. And come to Jesus, and He'll give you rest. Let's all stand, please. Amen.